So this is an example of timidity gone and a bold spirit. Because if any of you knew me when I was much younger, there'd never be a chance of me being up here. So, I had a word. I'm guessing it must be nearly a year ago, just a single word. And it really stuck in my mind, and I thought that it would be a preach one day. So I set about looking at it and think... No, I can see, Tar. Thanks. Unbelievably. Do you want a bit higher? Yeah. So I've been spending quite a bit of time just thinking around the area of this word and what God wanted me to know about this word. I'll confess most of what I'm going to say is not mine. I found it on lots of things in the web because I went to search it off, and there's lots of things out there being said specifically around us as a church. So many things pass through my mind, and as always, you should write them down when you think of them, because when you want to go back and think of them, you can't remember what you thought. So it's been a long while coming, and I believe there's a message for us all to hear, consider, adopt, pursue, put our life into it. And after what Margaret said this morning and what was said to us last week, I really believe today's the day for it. The word is focus. So what do we think when the word focus is said? I straight away think of a camera and getting it to focus on the object being photographed. Why? Because it ends up with a clear, sharp picture, not a blurred and fuzzy one. Dictionary says focus, the distinctness or clarity of an image rendered by an optical system, a center of interest or activity, close or narrow attention, concentration, to adjust, to produce a clear image, to converge on or toward a central point of focus, to be focused, to adjust one's vision or an optical device so as to render a clear, distinct image. To concentrate attention or energy, a campaign that focused on economic issues. The poorest man in the world is not the one without money, he's the one without a vision for his life. But vision requires a focus. When you're spread too thin, you become mediocre and everything at everything and excellent at nothing. Staying focused sets us free from other people's expectations and keeps us free to do what God wants us to do. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold to it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So staying focused in anything is important. Why do we need to stay focused? Because God has a plan for our lives and it's perfect. So if God has a perfect plan for you and me, we have to ask ourselves, am I fulfilling God's perfect plan? If not, are you and me getting off track? He created us for a purpose. Do you know that? Do you recognize that? Are you following that? Have you abandoned it? We are not a mistake. We may well be in the wrong place or at the wrong time, but we're not a mistake. We lose focus and give up our freedom when we fight the wrong battle, when we waste time, when we waste energy. God has a prize for every person who focuses on his goal. We read it in Scripture, forgetting what is behind, for pressing on, achieving the goal that God has called me to achieve. So everyone here has a goal in Christ. Do you, I, believe that? Do you, I, have a goal? Are you aware of the goal? God has set goals out for us that we are to achieve. And we are, will be, the happiest and freest when we are doing what God wants us to do. They're not always easy. There's nothing in here saying it's going to be easy to do that. But we will be in the right place at the right time when we're doing what God wants us to do. What happens if we continually look in the rearview mirror whilst driving? We're highly likely to have an accident. Luke 9:62 says, "No one who takes the plough in his hand and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom." Just think that through. No one who takes his hand to the plough and then looks back is fit for the kingdom. Scripture tells us very clearly we don't look backwards. Didn't think about it. What did the scripture say? Forgetting what is. What is. Not what was, what is. But Paul says, "One thing I know, forget what is behind. When you think about your past, you're looking in the rearview mirror. And as long as you're looking in the rearview mirror, you will have an accident." Everybody who has failed in the past, raise your hand. Yeah, all of us. We have a tendency to judge today because of yesterday. And that is looking in the rearview mirror. And you can't drive right if you're looking in the rearview mirror all the time. Forgetting what is behind, looking forward. "I press on to win the prize and to achieve the goal which God has called me heavenward in Christ." God's prize is abundant life. And can we agree that God wants to give us abundant life? So can we also agree that if we are looking in the rearview mirror, we're stuck in a rut or out in the ditch? It's not God's will for us. We can also agree that if we are fighting issues that we should never fight, that is not God's will for us. If we are bound in things we shouldn't be bound in, that's not God's will for us. If we are stuck in a rut, that's not God's will for us. Ruts are not God's will. Keep your number one priority, discovering God's perfect plan for you. In God's perfect plan, you can achieve what you need for freedom and abundant life. First century Christians solved their problems as they focused on Christ. The church today usually solves its differences by starting or moving to another congregation. "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The difference between these two men was not that one had more knowledge than, or that one faced more difficult circumstances. One chose to obey the word of Christ and the other didn't. Following a hurricane, amid the devastation and debris, stood one house on its foundation. The owner was clearing up the yard when a reporter asked him, "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" He replied, "I built this house myself. I built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to the code would withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. And I suppose no one else round here followed the code." When the sun is shining and the skies are blue, building our lives on something other than the guidelines in God's word can be tempting. But there's a hurricane coming for everyone. Men today discover the power of God when they focus and begin doing the will of Christ. Have you ever wondered why a pigeon walks so funny? According to an interesting article in the Detroit Free Press, a pigeon walks the way it does so it can see where it's going. It cannot adjust its focus as it moves. The pigeon actually has to bring its head to a complete stop between steps in order to refocus. This is why it walks. Head forward, stop, head back, stop. Don't laugh. That's just how it goes. Fascinating article. We often have the same problem with focus as the pigeon. We live our life on the move, or should we say on the run, and it makes it hard to focus our lives. Occasionally we need to stop and refocus our lives. Yeah. A focused life has to do with what the mind's eye is set on. There is a saying, whatever your mind can conceive and believe, you can achieve. I believe there's much truth in this statement. It says much about human potential, but it says much more about the focus of our lives. What we can conceive has to do with focus in our minds. The sharper you focus, the greater your chances of reaching your potential. Now, I believe for us, there's a greater element than just that, because that works for those who don't have a faith as well. And we see that in many people's lives who don't have any belief, but they set their minds and focus on something and they achieve it. My life deserves to be focused on the highest possible goal time and eternity affords. Why settle for any less when the best is within our reach? The greatest vision you can have for your life is to see your life through the eyes, the lens of God's eyes, seeing situations as He sees them. Too often we see things not as they are, but as we are. Isaiah writes, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Peter wrote, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hopes fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." The greatest concept one can focus one's heart and mind on is God. Peter writes to the troubled Christians, encouraging them to keep their minds focused. Focused on God's grace. When we focus on God's grace, we are forced to focus on God's enabling power for living in the present. We have a choice to focus our lives trusting human potential or to focus our lives on Almighty God. There is no comparison between human potential and God's power. Granted, a person can accomplish unbelievable things while believing in what he or she conceives. But God is the only one who set life in motion from the beginning. Our greatest potential lies in conceiving and believing in the plan of God. Let us focus our lives on God's grace. Only God deserves the focus of your life demands. Paul had a central focus point for his life. Paul focused his life on God's power revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Focusing our lives on the power of God is more than mere hoping in our future resurrection from the dead. It is a hope revealing God's power for the present. It has to do with becoming like Him in His death while living for Him in the present. Paul chose to forget what was behind. We spend so much time brooding over what might have been. It doesn't really matter about the accomplishments or the failures of the past or the circumstance of the present. We can become so engrossed in what we have accomplished in the present that we lose sight of the future. Many are only living for the present. They may think the present's all important. The present prevents them from seeing their future. Paul focused on the future. Paul forgot what was behind, looks beyond the moment, straining towards what's ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I wish I could convince individuals that their greatest potential lays in their future, not in their past or present. The remainder of our lives will be lived in the future. That is where our focus must be as we live in the present. The world's criterion for success seems to be elusive dream for the majority. Our world has a way of limiting the potential of the majority. We believe our past and present puts limitations on our lives. Our world leaves us thinking everything has to do with the ability or ingenuity. When we focus on God, our future is yet to be realized. It's not dependent upon the past or the present, and it's not dependent on our ability or ingenuity, but on God's enabling power. Have you thought about focus in your life? Have you thought about focusing your life on something that will help you reach your greatest potential? We focus our lives on God by focusing our lives on Jesus Christ through obedience to his word. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father." Keeping focused in the midst of difficulty is life's greatest challenge. Peter was concerned about troubled Christians keeping their focus in the midst of persecution by false teachers. For these Christians to keep focused, they must think clearly. Peter is endeavouring to stimulate clear thinking. When people begin to mock us, deride us, harass us, or scoff what we believe, we may be tempted to start thinking otherwise. We must remember that the powerful impact of negative thinking scoffers does not make what they are, what they say, to be true. No matter how powerful their influence may seem, we remain sober-minded. We must be aware lest we fall from our steadfastness. If we forget what we know, it will be impossible for us to remain steadfast in our faith. There are wicked people in the church who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are subtle and shrewd. If we're not careful, they will make us stumble and fall. The scripture warns us, watch out, be on guard, be aware, resist the devil, flee from evil, consent not to sin. As you may well have picked up, I want to talk about focus. The number one thing that stops people from getting what they want in life is their lack of focus. The number one thing that keeps people from realizing their goals, maximizing their potential, and fulfilling their God-given assignments and purpose is focus. Whatever, wherever you place your focus on, the rest of your mind, talents, abilities, and emotions will follow. Have you ever bit the inside of your cheek? And after that bite of that cheek, you try not to bite it again, but what really happens? Well, if you're like me, I keep biting it. And the harder you think of trying not to bite it, the more you seem to bite it, because you're focused. Your focus, everything about us follows that focus. Wherever you place your focus, the rest of your mind, talents and abilities and emotions will follow. Focus is the key to success. Many times our lives can spin out of control, and it is because of the lack of focus. The principle is both in the world and in the heavens. People who focus on problems, hurdles, walls, obstacles will go through life with problems, hurdles, walls and obstacles. It's not what's happening to you now or what has happened to you in the past that's determines who you become. It's your focus upon it. It is the meaning and significance that you give to everything that determines its effect on your life. Ever seen a person with a problem that all they do is focus on the problem, and so they never get better? Focus on God's dreams, goals, and visions for your life. Let me give you a piece of advice. Whatever you focus on today, you give that thing permission to exist tomorrow. I'll say it again. Whatever you focus upon today, you give permission to exist tomorrow. Focus on God's dreams, goals, and visions for your life. Focus on where you want to be, not where you came from. Focus on what you expect to acquire and what you wish to do, and not on what you do, not have, or what you have not done. Focus on your healing and not your sickness. Focus on your deliverance and not your oppression. Focus on what remains and not what you have lost. Dream about how different your life can be, then wake up and focus on making it happen so that you can live the life that God has ordained for you. Think about it only enough to formulate a plan and then put feet to that plan and make it happen. Contemplate it long enough so that your faith becomes the driving force of your focus. Talk about it long enough so that you'll motivate yourself to act. Focus makes your faith unshakable. Focus eliminates distractions. Focus is necessary to discipline, which is always the precursor to godly success and prosperity. If you do not want to see something in your future, don't focus on it today. Train your mind to focus on the godly, and you will always have godly outcomes. Just to encourage you out of Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. Do not allow the enemy to break your focus. Like God said to Abraham, I say to you, whatever you see, you will seize. Much of the meditation that's being promoted today is mostly about clearing the clutter out of our minds so that we can understand ourselves. In the Bible, we find great men focusing their meditations on God's ways to become better understanding of self. There's a big difference. Psalms. But this delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The purpose of meditating on God's ways is for the purpose of walking in his paths. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Focus. Meditating upon God's ways to discern his counsel will prepare us to meet the challenges of those who scorn God's ways. Jesus teaches his disciples what to do when they're scorned. Fasting was a means to focus life on God's way. It took their minds off their needs of the body to focus on the will of God. Prayer was their means of seeking God's way of direction. Jesus said that if our eye is single, all of our lives will be filled with his light. Jesus went on to say that we can't have two masters. We must focus upon one. James warns us of the dangers of being double-minded because it destabilizes every part of our lives. This morning, Paul tells us through Titus that God desires every man to keep a singular focus upon God and his way. A focused life is what each of us should desire to give to God today. If you focus light, you get a laser burst. If you focus water, you get some commercial cutting applications. If you focus atoms, you get a momentary atomic power. The focus on money, and you get a passing fortune like Rockefeller, Morgan, or Buffett. If you focus on conquest, and you get a short-lived Alexander or Hitler. But if you focus your life on Jesus Christ, you get eternal reward and endless delights. What you focus on gets bigger. What is your, my focus? What is the focus for the boiler house? And I'll leave it there for you to ponder. But I think it's interesting what you said this morning. It's about what we're focused on. It's God's plan. We mustn't be distracted from God's plan. We must be listening for it too. So, we will break bread together.